Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewphoffman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewphoffman.com. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. Today we are hosting Tracy and Mark Russell. These two Florida natives met in high school through a youth group and got married shortly after college. On their honeymoon, they were faced with the harsh realization that they might be lacking the commitment and selflessness to go the distance in their marriage. When Tracy found out she was pregnant shortly after their wedding, the strain of a baby and a dysfunctional marriage was overwhelming. They divorced just 2 years later. After taking the time to work on themselves individually and their relationship with God, they came back together stronger than ever. Through counseling and personal growth, this couple was able to rebuild the foundation of their relationship and remarry with a new understanding of commitment, communication, and a true selfless partnership. In today's Recap Edition episode, Kim and I will share our key takeaways from our interview with this dynamic couple. We'll break down concepts, relationship qualities, and key pillar points that they've used to build their rock-solid relationship that will stand the test of time. We are back here today, so excited to bring to you this recap episode of Mark and Tracy Russell.
This was a really great episode, one that really touched my heart because I feel like it's important to let our listeners know that this couple was married, divorced, and then remarried. And they have a painfully beautiful story that they shared with us, and that when they first got married, they were young and in love, and they had just gotten married. They were on their honeymoon, and just a few days into the honeymoon, Tracy really realized something isn't right. Mark isn't right. This just isn't feeling good. Something's amiss here. And it was a few days into it that Tracy actually said, "Mark, what's going on? I know something is wrong. What's wrong?" And he admitted, "I think we've made a mistake." And from there, as you can well imagine, just a few days into your honeymoon, I think things started to crumble. They ultimately did get pregnant not long after that, and ended up staying together for a few more years. But I believe that even that got challenging and difficult, and they ended up getting divorced. But fast forward to now, and they have been married 25 plus years and have just a beautiful story of how they came back together and have really been able to have a kick-ass marriage, one that has lasted over time and has mended, and they've really learned how to come together as a couple to work together and to make their marriage work.
And there's so much to unpack here, Kim. You're right. It's the first couple that we've spoken to that was separated, divorced, and then came back together in marriage. And it's a great story of redemption. And if you don't mind, that kind of leads into one of my first takeaways. I think one of the things that Tracy talked about in this interview, which was really interesting, and I wonder if a lot of our listeners probably come in, you know, I know that we all come to a relationship with expectations and what we think it's going to be like. And I think that that's really important to talk about here, because Tracy spoke about idealism. And she said, you know, I really came to this relationship, to this marriage, with an idealistic, unrealistic view of what marriage should be. I think she said, I felt it was going to be rainbows and sunshine, and my prince was going to sweep me off, and life was going to be wonderful. And I think she really had a good childhood. Her background, everything was great. Her parents had a loving relationship, and they mirrored that to each other. Her father was an airline pilot, and they went on wonderful vacations. And I think she thought, gosh, this marriage is going to be just like my upbringing, and everything's going to be wonderful, and I can't wait to live that dream life. So nothing wrong with coming to a relationship and expecting great things. I think we should. But she said, you know, I had to learn how to let go of that idealistic and unrealistic view of what this relationship should be. And I think it wasn't until she was able to address that that they were really able to talk about going forward in what is now a wonderful relationship they have together.
Yeah, I agree. I actually had that down as one of my talking points, because I think that a lot of people do come to marriage with unrealistic expectations, and they don't realize how much work and effort and commitment it takes to really have a great marriage. And in this case, unfortunately, not long into the marriage, just days as a matter of fact, things started to unravel. And that made it even harder for Tracy, because she had just these high hopes and expectations. But I think it's also important to point out that in coming back together, you know, she really felt like she finally came to a place that she had to show tough love, and to really put it in this marriage, this particular marriage, in God's hands, and just say, if it's supposed to work, then, you know, God, you have it. And they it didn't work. They got divorced. They separated. And they were able to find their way back to each other and to really heal and mend this marriage through commitment, communication, and figuring out how to resolve conflict. And those are our three C's. And we talked about all of those things with them. And those really were foundational in them being able to heal and move forward in their relationship.
It was. And even though in the story it sounds like, well, Tracy was committed and ready to go, and Mark maybe realized he wasn't, I think Tracy had realized and communicated. She had a lot to learn. And she said, you know, we both had to be brought low in order to come back. And as you guys know, relationships, every relationship, even especially marriage, it's a two-way street. And when you hear a story about a relationship that is struggling or maybe fell apart, and you hear one partner's side of it, could be a friend, could be a family member, and what you have to remember is that it takes two, right? And even though it can sound like, even if there was infidelity and someone broke that covenant, that's critical, but there's always two sides, and there's always two people that are in this relationship, giving and taking and learning and growing. And I think that Tracy realized, hey, I'm not perfect. I've got stuff to work on. And she said, you know, I had to be brought low in order to learn how to climb back up high again. And so my hat's off to them. They were both willing to figure out how to break that idealism and work through their own issues and come back together. When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com, so you can become of the growing kick-ass couples nation right now.
I think it's important to note that Tracy said, I work diligently and, you know, on my faith. And then on the other side of that, Mark said, you know, we had vows and a marriage and we pledged our love. But the foundation and the commitment wasn't there, because he said, I was committed to self. All I cared about was myself, what I was doing, and I was living in my own vortex, so to speak. And I was not committed at all to a relationship with Tracy.
To the us, yeah. It was a lot of I. And we talk about that a lot. There's I, there's you, and then there's us. And when that marriage vow happens, the commitment changes to us, and it's really a challenge. And it sounds like Mark, you know, had to really work at, how do I make decisions that are best for us and not me, not I? And that's something that we work on in our relationship every day. And I know that everybody out there is doing the same thing. You have to filter your decisions, right? And think about, you know, where's the win for the relationship? And if it wins for the relationship, it's a good decision. And not to say that there aren't seasons, right, Kim? I mean, we all have those seasons in our relationships, right, where we're going through something and it seems to be a higher focus on one than the other. And but we got to come back to that balance.
Absolutely. We've just gone through a couple recent moves, one into a rental home, and then not even, you know, less than a year later into a home that we now are living in, that we own. But, and when you say seasons, it makes me think of that. That was a really heightened time of just a lot of angst and concern and packing and kids and just figuring out logistics. And, you know, there was a season and we had to learn and work at being patient with each other. And I think I hear that coming out in this particular relationship, that they had to figure out what commitment looked like. And then they had to figure out how to really communicate with each other. And that was the sort of the next point that I made, was that, you know, they really had to figure out how to really admit their faults, own them, try to work through them. He doesn't love to talk a lot, and she does. He wants to fix things immediately. And, you know, it's important to him to just say, okay, this is what you need to do to fix it. She doesn't want to hear that. She wants to just be able to talk and to say how she's feeling. And he's learned he has to peel back the onion and just let her talk, let her speak, let her have those moments of just sort of putting it all out there. And so I feel like they've learned this dance of how to communicate with each other and how they've learned what each other needs to communicate well, and to be able to express their emotions and concerns. So
yeah, that's a critical thing, kind of moving into communication. That second pillar of ours is learning how to communicate so that you can express your needs and your emotions to your spouse, to your partner, but learning what they need and giving it to them. And I think that they, when they got married, they probably didn't have a real clear understanding of how to communicate and how the other needed to communicate. And I think that's important to figure out and give them what they need. And that was part of their growing back together. Kind of the mending that occurred, right, in the relationship, is Mark said that he had to learn how to be a better value, not just to Tracy, but to others after the marriage. And so he got out of himself and said, how does she need me to communicate to her? And how does she need to communicate to me? And then he facilitated that and had that happen. And I think that one of the things that Tracy shared specifically, Kim, since you brought it up on communication, she said she had to learn greater empathy in her communication, meaning to understand how the other person, how Mark was feeling, so she could understand that instead of just communications about getting your own thoughts out there. And she had to really learn that empathy. And I think that was part of the healing that occurred for her. And how can they get through things together? And when you're together, if you have empathy and you feel how the other person feels and you're valuing their opinions as their own and you've got that true understanding, then you can work through those things together. And I think she said that was kind of the big change in communication for her in their relationship.
That's a huge takeaway. And I feel like also they talked about when they came back the second time together, that they were really vulnerable with each other. And in doing so, they built a lot of trust and being vulnerable with each other. And another thing that really stood out to me that Mark said that I love and I think is really important to share with our listeners is that they were very transparent with each other. They were transparent with each other with sin issues, just with everything. They just put it all out there for each other. But they also brought in some very close friends and were transparent with them as well for accountability. And I think that when you feel like you have a friendship that you can trust, or maybe you're in a prayer group or you've got an accountability group like you have, where you really trust a lot of people, or maybe it's just a very small group of people, I think it's important to be able to put those things out there to have others, not just your spouse, hold you accountable as well.
No, I agree. I agree. Because you're the same person in the relationship with your spouse or in with others, and that consistency, and I think that was a big concern of theirs. They didn't want their friends, their church, to feel like they were being inconsistent with a standard, and they wanted to make sure that everybody knew what they were doing and how they were doing it, and they were committed to each other. And I think that, you know, having that commitment, you can say those things, you can share those issues where you're falling short, or you're not making it, or where you're struggling, because you're making your partner aware of it so they can A, understand you, and B, so they can better support you, right?
Yeah, yeah. They also had another very traumatic situation arise in their family where a young family member they lost. It was a loss of a nephew. And this was a really difficult and challenging time because this particular nephew was on their boat and in their lake and contacted, I guess it was some kind of amoeba that took his life a few days later after being on the lake. And when the realization came that it was sort of during their watch, there was another set of trauma-related issues for them to have to work through. And I think it's really important to point out that there was, this made the media, it made big news, and there was a lot of shame, there was a lot of guilt, there was just grief, because this is a nephew that they loved dearly and was like a son to them. And they all turned to counseling and self-care. And they not only did it, Tracy and Mark did it, but they also attended a family camp where they were able to heal this trauma. And so I want to put that out there for our listeners, because I hadn't even thought of that. That was something very new to me. You know, of course, we seek individual counseling and couples counseling, but there are actually camps out there for families who have had trauma where you can go and really work and invest in and fight for the unity of your family and your relationship.
Yeah, they learned how to grieve and how to cope and communicate as a family through
yes.
this painful situation.
That just
and it was
touched
good.
My heart.
Yeah, it created such great dialogue with their kids who were going through the same issues as well. And, you know, this was a birthday, right? A birthday of the nephew party that this all...
On the lake.
On the lake, their lake, and the water sports, and all those things changed for them, not just individually, but as a family. And so they were able to get that support that they needed to heal together. Yeah. I think that's a great example, yeah. Kim. That it's out there and available, and I wasn't aware of it either. And they really walked and learned and grew together and how to figure out how to support how to support each other the best way. And Tracy said that was hard for her because she's a certified adjuster and fixer, you know. And Mark, he goes, I just want to jump in and do it. And they couldn't for their kids. Their kids had to get there on their own, and they had to go through that together. So yes. It was a real, the whole family had to learn and grow through that, and ended up being a real strengthening experience for them.
And what I love is I feel like coming full circle with all of this is that this family now understands each other. This couple understands each other on such a deeper level. And they've come full circle, and they are a kick-ass couple who are working every day on their relationship to be committed, to being great communicators, to figuring out when something's going on or something isn't right, to just dig in there and hit it straight on. Start peeling back the layers. Start, you know, figuring out what really is the deeper issue. And they've learned how to do that, and they've been successful at it. And I love that here we are, you know, over 25 years later, and they are going strong.
I think it's great. And I think what's really important is, you know, there's an analogy, an automobile analogy. You've got a rear view mirror and you have a windshield. And you know why the rear view mirror is so small, Kim?
Why, Matthew?
Because it's your past. You want to make sure you're aware of what's there so you can see and put it in perspective. And, you know, they own their junk, their problems from the past. But here's a real critical thing that everybody needs to walk away with is that your past does not define you. You don't have to take it forward with you and bring it out and cherish it and polish it every day. They admitted it. They identified what it was. Mark said, hey, I screwed up. I was selfish. It was a problem. And by the grace of God, he was able to learn how to put that in the right perspective. It's small. It doesn't need to stay where we are today. Yes, I made that mistake, but we're going to move forward, live in the now, and live in the healing and the opportunity that they had going forward.
Yeah. And I loved Mark's sort of parting advice to himself, if he could go back, was it's going to hurt, but it's going to be worth it. Pain will be worth God's purpose.
Yeah.
So I love that.
And one other takeaway that I kind of took and want to make sure that you guys are aware of, or that you get if you go back and listen to this full episode, is the whole issue of personalizing your spouse's issues. You know, we all have our own junk, our own garbage that we got to deal with. And if it's something your spouse is going through, you want to understand it so you can best support them. But you can't take on it as your issue, as your problem. Because if I got enough stuff I'm working on my own. If I take on your things and make them my problem so I can be there for you, I can put my hand on your shoulder, I can love you and support you, and try to really understand how you're feeling, but I can't make your issues mine. And I think that some of us, you know, I've done it before too, is I let it cripple me, and I can't, because then, you know, I'm not there to support you and lift you up or our family or other people as well. So I think that you have to really make sure you understand those issues so you can be empathetic and support them, but you can't take them on as your own and try to solve them for your spouse.
Agreed. This is a great episode. I hope you'll go back and listen to it in its entirety. There's a lot of good pearls here, and it is also just a beautiful redeeming story. And I think a lot of our listeners will be able to relate to this story as well. So
yeah, so grateful for Mark and Tracy's transparency and for sharing with us so that we can learn about the growth and the opportunity that exists in other relationships. So we appreciate you joining us here today on the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. Mark and Tracy Russell, the recap, and we hope you'll keep coming back. If you like this episode or others, we hope you'll rate us and share it with us, and so we can continue to get this message out to other people. And remember that happily ever after does not just happen. See you next time.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review
at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.